Amen. Exodus chapter number 20 this morning. If you love the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
I love the Lord. I love His Word this morning. We started this last Sunday. Of course, we didn't have a Sunday evening because Fellowship Sunday, but we started last Sunday morning on the Ten Commandments and preaching a simple thought. And one that I believe will be a help to you if you let it be. And so anyways, let's look in Exodus chapter number 20. Let's look in verse number 1 this morning. Exodus 20, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible said, and God speak all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Here's one. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and it shall thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is in that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet, the mountain smoking, and when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. If I could this morning, I want to go back and preach a simple thought, and stay with me. I'll give you a little bit of introduction again this morning. But I want to preach on this thought this morning. Simple solutions for personal pollutions. Simple solutions for personal pollution. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. God, we thank you, Lord, for the good spirit, Lord, that I feel this morning. I pray, God, that you'd help me. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless. I pray, God, that you would give me power and unction, Lord, from on high. Help me, Lord, to focus, Lord, on what you have to say today. Lord, help me to be, Lord, submissive to thy will and to say and do what you'd have me say and do. God, I pray that you'd open our ears and, most importantly, Lord, you'd open our hearts to receive the truth of thy word. God, we love you and we praise you, Lord, for all that you've done. God, we need your help this morning. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us. And for what you do, I'll thank you and I'll praise you and I'll lift up your high and holy name, Lord. Speak to us one more time in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all the Lord's people said, amen and amen. Again this morning, if I could, by way of introduction, I want to remind you that it is here in our text where we are in one of the most familiar, if not possibly the most familiar portions of Scripture in all of the Word of God. This is where the Lord gives Moses that Mosaic law, or the Ten Commandments. Now, we understand this morning that the law, the Ten Commandments, was given to Moses for the nation of Israel. So I know where I'm at this morning. I know we're not under the law. I understand that. I know we're under grace, and I understand that God, the Lord Jesus, God being manifest in the flesh, came and fulfilled the law. And the law is no longer something that you and I must keep, per se. We're not in bondage to the law. But if you're going to please the Lord and live a life of where you're against sin, and a life that you can, my friend, stand out from the world, this law is something that you ought to look at. Again, we're not saved by the law, but neither were they. Can I get a witness? The nation of Israel did not get saved merely by this law. But my friend, this law helped them live a life that kept them unspotted by themselves and unspotted by the world. Can I say this morning, just as the nation of Israel lived a very repetitious cycle of life. I mean, one minute they're doing good, and the next minute they don't know where they're headed or what they want. At one minute they're praising and praying to God, and the next minute they're cursing Moses. And it's up and down, up and down. They're never consistent. They're never, my friend, living a life of just constant faithfulness to God. But may I say this morning, look around, friend, neither are people in this day and in this hour. This is God's truth. I ain't just talking about those who are not here today, but if everybody that has came and participated and joined and wanted to be a part of the church, if all those people would have stayed faithful, we'd done be in another building somewhere. We couldn't fit them. We couldn't pack them in here. What's the problem? Men love themselves. Men love the flesh. And men love to do what they want to do. And my friend, you'll end up the same way if you do not realize that you cannot live your life doing what you want to do. I've said this a million times, but I'm going to say it again. Did you know the whole of Satanism is not worship the devil? The whole of Satanism is not open the devil's Bible and read and keep the devil's rules. That's not the whole of Satanism. The whole of Satanism, look it up, Anton LaVey. The whole of Satanism is this: do what thou wilt. You know what the devil knows? If you'll just do what you tells you to do, my friend, you'll end up in the worst place you've ever lived and ever been in your life. The devil don't have to ride around on your back for you to find trouble. You just do you and you'll be in a mess. Can I get an amen this morning? I'm telling you, this law, it does not save us, but it sure help us live a life that pleases God. We are full of pollutions. And there are some simple solutions. Let me ask you, sir, just an honest question. Does anybody here want help? Now, if you've reached a place in your life where, well, bless God, my life, I'm living so good. I mean, I really need help. Everything's going fine. Everything's well. I mean, I really believe I'm on top of things. You, my friend, are deceived. And the Bible said this. He said a man deceives himself. If he says he has no sin, he deceiveth himself, and the truth is not in him. We all have issues with our sinful flesh and our sinful desires. I understand. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And we are new on the inside. But my friend, I'm still living with the flesh. Man, I'm still living and contrary and fighting against this old sinful man. And my friend, we have to make conscious decisions each and every day in order to live a life that pleases God. And so we find 10 simple solutions for those personal pollutions. I ain't going to preach these, because I preached them last Sunday, but I am going to make mention of them. First of all, this morning, Here's a simple solution for those personal solutions. We find, number one, that you got to make God your first priority. Can I get a little help this morning? Look at verse number 3. The Bible says this, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." I said it last Sunday. I'll say it again. Most of the time when we read that, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," we start thinking of Fat Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, and Allah, and so on and so forth. And they are false gods. But may I say, there's more false gods in the lives of believers than you'd imagine. My friend, can I say anything that takes priority over the God of the Bible in your life is another little g god? I said it last week, but I'll repeat myself. You can have other little g gods. It could be hobbies. It could be habits. And then I said this, it can even be hard work. And I believe in hard work. Man don't labor and don't work, neither shall he eat. Man won't provide for his own worth the infinite. I get the Bible. I understand what it says. But work, hard work. Ain't nothing wrong with it. But it cannot replace God in your life. My friend, and I'm not talking about having to miss every now and then. I ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that make working their God. They eat, sleep, breathe, wake up, go to bed, thinking about how to make a dollar. My friend, I'm talking about people who lay out not just one or two times a year, but they live their lives for their hobbies, and they live their lives for their habits, and they live their lives for these things. Ain't nothing wrong with any of it. But if it comes before God, friend, and it is a God, it is a thing that you are in pursuit of more than you are God, God is not your first priority. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You've got to make God a priority. Can I say, we do not bring God into our lives. We build our lives around God. I've heard that people say that, "Well, preacher, I'm doing better. I brought God into my life." Dear God, what do you mean you brought God into your life? You ought not bring God in your life. Your whole life ought to center around God, friend. We don't bring our Creator into our world. He is our world. And without Him, friend, there wouldn't nobody be here this morning. Oh, friend, He ought to be the first priority. God ought to be first priority in your duty. God ought to be first priority in your decisions. God ought to be first priority in dedication. God ought to be first priority in your discussion. Listen, He's either first or last this morning. Did you know there is no in-between with Him? I know the crowd's down and it seemed a little, but there ain't no in between, and y'all, somebody ought to say amen. He's either got all of you or He don't.
That's right.
Well, preacher, I look, I understand sometimes it's a road and a process, but listen to me. If you'd just dive all the way in, you'd figure it out. It's a whole lot better on this side. God don't take percentages. Well, God has most of me. No, He don't. He either has you or He don't have you.
Yes, sir.
You've either made Him number one or you've not. Does everybody understand the black and white when it comes to God? You may have percentages at work, and you may have an idea how things work, but with God, His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not. You're either all the way in. Listen to, I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to help you. You're either all the way in or you're all the way out. You know what He says? "I'd rather you be hot or ice cold as lukewarm." Lukewarm is still all the way out. But you know the problem with lukewarm Christians? They think they're doing all right. They are, look here, they are comfortable. If you were to go jump in a bathtub or a swimming pool and it was ice water, you would have a reaction. It produces a reaction. I mean, it's cold. Or if you were to jump in a pool or a bathtub of boiling hot water, my friend, you couldn't stay in the hot water long, and you couldn't stay in the ice water long. It produces an action. But if you get that thing about 73 degrees and you sit down in that pool and it's lukewarm, it's cold.
comfortable. Can I get a witness? It don't make you have no sudden movements. You don't second guess whether or not you ought to be in or be out. That, my friend, you're comfortable. That's exactly what lukewarm Christianity is. My friend, God said you'd be better off to be all the way completely cold on God. For then God could do something and you might would feel Him as to be all the way out and think you're all right and be lukewarm and numb to things of God. My friend, God needs some people to get all the way in this morning. Man, I can't imagine how it must make the Lord feel. Don't it wear y'all out? It does me. Lukewarm Christians. The last 2 or 3 years, it seemed like we got over the hump. We was finally going up. You know what we're doing now? We're going back down. I didn't think it'd ever come. It ain't ever going to stop. We just don't know when it comes and when it goes. But you don't know why it is? Because God's not first priority.
Right.
Did you know I couldn't say or do a blessed fire thing to keep you at the house if you was right with God?
That's right. Amen.
Did you know that?
Yes, sir.
Right. If you was right with God, not saying you ain't, I'm saying if you are, ain't a thing in the world I can do to persuade you just to stay at the house.
Right. Amen.
Right.
Because you know what you realize? He's my preacher and I love him, but he ain't perfect.
That's right.
My Lord is.
That's right.
Did you know if he's right with God, ain't a thing nobody in this building could say or do if he could have. Did you know if he's right with God, it wouldn't matter if it's sunshine, rain, or snow. Mortgage payment don't care about how big our faith is. They need their money. Can I get any help? I mean, listen. And so I look at things, and I if I'm not careful, I'll begin to fear and I'll begin to worry. But my friend, God ain't worried about paying the bills. God's worried about where His people are and where their heart is and why they're not living their lives with Him being number one. Now, I wonder those things and ponder it. But God, the way He looks at things and the way I look at things is totally different.
That's right. Man.
Totally different. Is He first priority? I didn't mean to preach that long on that. Number two, here's your simple solution for those personal pollutions. Not only make God your first priority, make God your focus of praise. In verse 4, thou shalt not make unto any graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Can I say it on Sunday? We do not worship creation more than we worship the Creator.
Amen.
We're not tree huggers. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
And I got Bible for that. We do not worship animals. I mean, I need y'all to say amen a little bit. We don't worship creation. We worship the Creator.
Amen.
These people would worship a cow in a heartbeat.
Yes.
And I understand it's the only nation of Israel. So how am I going to apply that? Well, my friend, if you're not careful, you'll begin to worship things like this more than you worship God. listen, I'm not against holding the church. I believe we're to hold the church in high regard. We're supposed to reverence it. I believe all that, but we do not worship the church nor the people of the church, nor the position of the church. We do not worship man. I'm about fed up. I've seen it, and y'all have too, for the last week or two, all over. Shiny, happy people. Shiny, happy people. Shiny, happy people. You know where that thing started, and the issue is it was never about God to begin with. It was about their cult leader and doing what, and that's why there's a bunch of sexual perversions, and that's why there's all kinds of sin in the camp. Listen, shiny, happy people, the problem was not that God was, what they're doing, by the way, if you don't know the agenda of Hollywood, they're trying to take that family who had tight standards and convictions and biblical principles and prayed over their meals and went to church, and they're trying to lump all of Christianity into a cult, but that's not what the case is. Here's the problem. They worship that man, and then Daddy Duggar, and listen to me now, instead of raising his family and loving his family, leading his family, he made millions off his kids and off his wife when he let Hollywood come into his home, and he worshiped an almighty dollar. That's why that they're on national television now trying to make all Christians look like fools. And my friend, he ought to be the focus of our worship and our praise. Amen. I'm telling you, if you're not careful, you can worship other things. God. We don't worship religion. I'm glad to be an old-time Holy Ghost, King James Bible, independent, mission-supporting Baptist. Amen. But I do not worship the denomination. Hello? Some preachers, that's all you ever hear them talk about. Bless God. And I get on the train with the best of them and thank God that I believe in that. But I'm not worshiping the denomination of a Baptist. I'm glad, my friend, I'm glad for denomination. I'm glad for it, but we're not worshiping denomination. We're not worshiping religion, and we're not worshiping traditions. Right. You would be blown away if you knew how much traditions were worshipped in our little old country churches. It'd blow your mind. They worship traditions. Well, preacher gets up. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to move our service from Wednesday night to Thursday at 7. You would have thought that the Taliban had invaded. They will flip teetotally out. Preacher, this church is 120 years old and in the make. We ain't never done. We ain't a doing that. If the preacher said that's what he thinks the church ought to do, just do it. What's the big deal? It's a tradition. It's a tradition. It's a tradition. Well, brother, we've just always done it this way. And they worship that. Supposed to worship God. Number three, simple solution for personal pollution: make God your most feared power. Verse number 7: Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. I'm gonna hurry through these. I ain't gonna read a bunch of verses, but I do want to say this: God's name is not the first word of a cuss word. If you cuss God, there's something bad wrong with you. Bad wrong. And if you allow people, if you allow people to cuss him and you don't say something's wrong with you. I used the illustration last week. You start cussing my daddy, my mama, my family, we're going to have issues. I will not tolerate that. But isn't it amazing as Christians? We'll let them cuss our God. I ain't going to say go to work, pick a fight, and get fired. That's not what I'm saying. But you ought to stand up for the Lord. Don't take his name in vain. Not only do we see it like that and using it as a slang term, but here's the real getter right here. Don't take God's good name and use it as a title when you don't back it up with a testimony. You know what you've used? His name in vain. I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. You know how many people's going up down these roads? I love the Lord, and their life says everything otherwise. They are using God's name in vain. Is He your most feared power? Fourthly, here's a simple solution for those personal pollutions. Make God your faithful purpose. Look at verse 8. The Bible said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, I need to say a few things about this. Number one, the Sabbath day under the law does not apply to us. Under the law. And so I'm not going to preach a Jewish Sabbath. I'm not even going to preach a Christian Sabbath. But I am going to go and let you understand in 1 Corinthians 16:2 and in Acts chapter number 20, upon the first day of the weeks when they worship the Lord. And this is the Lord's day. I need a little help this morning. Sunday's the Lord's day. He, God ought to be your faithful purpose. Can I say it's the Lord's day? That's why it's a sacred day. God has blessed and hallowed this day as He's hallowed His own name. It's the Lord's day. Isn't it amazing that the world gets all their days? But God has to pull teeth to get His. Let me ask you something. Why should you be faithful to this place? Not because of the place, because of the person that paid for the place in His own blood. The Lord's day. Listen to me. One day you are going to stand before God.
Right.
You're going to give an account of your works, whether they be good or bad.
Right.
I can't figure out why grown adult people refuse to let their children miss school and refuse to let their children miss soccer practice and refuse to let their children miss drama practice and refuse to let their children miss this and their children miss that. And boy, I mean, the world stops for all those appointments and days out there. But Sunday's an option.
Yep. You're right, son.
You better listen to me. Hebrews is still in the Bible. Not to say the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Right.
Oh man, that's so much preaching. When you make church an option to your children, don't be surprised when they don't make it.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Church is not an option. Well, we got, you know, we're under grace. And Paul said, use not grace for the occasion of the flesh. This is not something that the Baptists just wrote up and we decided to have church on Sunday. It's the Lord's day.
Yeah.
I'm taking scripture after scripture after scripture. On the seventh day they rested. And then in the New Testament on the seventh day they worshiped. This is a day of rest. This is a day of worship. It's the Lord's day. He took 6 days in creation, took the seventh and worshiped it. We take the seventh and, and rested. We take the seventh and worship Him. It's a crying shame that God has set one day aside for Himself and people cannot be committed to it.
Right, man.
Oh, I have so much I want to say. I'm beginning to see more every day what the Bible meant when it says in those last days that men would be lovers of pleasure more than they were lovers of God. How rude would it be for you to sacrifice your only child for the sin of one person, let alone the whole world? And all you ask of that person was, you can live, my son will die, but all I want you to do is come see me and sit down and eat dinner with me every Sunday. And you wouldn't go. You realize what we've done? And it don't even bother people. It does not bother people to stay home. And it worries me. I'm going to be honest with you. It worries me. If I try, and it used to have the pastor. No, it's being a Christian.
Amen.
Before I was a pastor, I was a Christian. Before I was a preacher, I was a Christian. I remember as a boy growing up when all that stuff first took place. We never missed church. And the first time that we started, I'll never forget how many of you. I thought, this is not right.
Yeah. Right.
Something is wrong.
That's right.
But son, they'll throw a King James Bible in the dash and hit the lake and not think a second.
Yes, sir. Right.
That's it. I didn't like how things went this week. I'm going to show him. It's not my day, goofy.
That's right. Right. Amen.
I'm so tired of that. It's not my day. You're not hurting and upsetting me. It's his day. And what you're saying is, I would rather prove a point and do what I want to do is I would worship the Lord on his day.
Say on.
And so here's what I've got with that. If you bring with it, so not.
Yeah.
He lay down at night knowing he shed his blood. He's kept you out of hell. And you can lay out of church all the time. That if you can live with it, I can, honey. But one day you're going to answer to God for the Lord's day.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. It's not a religious day. It's the Redeemer's day.
Right.
It's not a day for Baptists. It's a day for the bridegroom. It's not a day for work. It's a day for worship. It's not a day for the family. It's a day for the Father. It ain't a day for running errands. It's a day for rejoicing. It ain't a day for relaxing on the couch or the sofa. It's a day for resting in His sanctuary. Somebody ought to be glad for the Lord's day. I thank the Lord that we take a whole day and say thank you. I put that up 7 years ago. Brethren, we have met to worship. Hello? Why are you here? It's the Lord's day. You ought to be here to worship the Lord. It's all about Him. You'd be amazed at the difference in your life if you would make the Lord your faithful purpose. It's the Lord's day, and your purpose for being in church on the Lord's day ought to be the Lord.
Amen.
You know, some people go to church just because they know they're going to have to deal with the preacher if they don't.
Yep.
Listen to me. Maybe you think I'm a bad pastor, but this is what God's told me to do.
Right.
I've quit chasing them all down and checking on them.
Yeah.
I've quit it. You know where we are.
Right.
You know how to get here. You know we're going to be here every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday by the good grace of God. And if you go lay out, that's on you. We try everywhere in the world to talk to people. You know what I've been doing? I've been sending out group reminders to be what? Pretty effective, man. But at least you're trying.
Yeah.
But I'm not trying to run everybody down. If I've got to pump you and climb you for you to come to church, you're not here for the Lord, no matter.
That's right. Come on.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
I'm not talking about the sick and hell and the shadows. I'm talking about sorry Christians.
Amen.
You know what's amazing? Is this place will suffer. But the first thing goes wrong in your life, you're going to want me in this place.
Right.
Amen.
But bless God, unless you have a need, it don't matter. You don't have to do your job, be faithful and help. Have spiritually, physically, financially. But son, if you need something, the church ought to help you.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Right.
You don't know why? You've not taken the God on the Lord's Day.
Right.
Don't matter to you. Because you know what people know about the church? We're going to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're doing all right without me. No, we're not.
Man.
Hello? People's dime a dozen. No, they're not. Not in this kind of church, they're not.
Right.
A church that preaches truth, they're not. You know what's amazing? People would depend on the church to be a place, time, the Lord's Day, to save their children. But once their children get saved, they'll keep them out of church.
Right.
Never understood that. Everybody wants the Lord and their time and for their convenience. But He said that Sunday is the Lord's Day. Whew. 35 minutes feels like an eternity, don't it? I'm trying to move on, but I'm stuck on the Lord's Day. If you can't give God one day, and it kills you to give Him one day, I would seriously consider,
yes, sir,
if I was even saved.
Amen.
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 Yes, sir.
I'm being honest with you.
Yeah.
If it just kills you to go worship the Lord, then I'm seriously doubting. You know what it is to know the free pardon of salvation, the free pardon of sin.
Yeah. Amen.
Because when I think of all He's done for me, I want to come 7 days.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Amen. Right.
That's how preachers are. No, that's how saved. You know what heaven's going to be? You don't get to cook, kick back, and drink pina colada slushies all for all of eternity. Heaven ain't nothing but a worship service forever.
Amen.
And if you hate church, you're going to hate heaven.
Amen.
That's all it's going to be is church. Worshiping the Lord. Giving Him honor and glory. Praise that's due to His name. People can't give Him one blessed fire day. My, my, my. You ought to make God your first priority. You ought to make Him your faithful purpose. But you ought to make God your final authority. Now listen to me, kids. Concerning your parents. I need your eyes and ears.
Yes, sir.
If you got tablets, put them down. If you're drawing, drop the ink pen. If you're listening to, you know, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, I need you to listen to me for a moment. Verse number 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You ought to make God your father. I'm talking about simple solutions for personal pollutions. Kids, if you do not learn to obey and honor and submit to your parents, you are going to live a very long, dreadful life.
Right.
If you have to argue and fight with your mom, your dad, whoever it is raising you, every time they say or do something, listen to me, you're going to jail when you get older.
Amen.
And if you don't learn to fear them according to this Bible, and I'll give you scripture, and you never submit to their authority, good chance you're going to hell later too.
Yes, sir.
I can't believe you'd say that to my kid. That's what the Bible says.
Right.
Because if they won't even fear you, who they can see, that they can physically see, they'll never fear God.
Amen.
I want to say this. In your Bible, this is the first commandment with promise.
Yes,
this is the first one that God follows with a promise. Look at it. Look at it right there. Look at verse number 12. He says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Ephesians chapter 6 says this, verses 1 through 4. Listen now closely. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now listen, I'm going to say a little something right here, parents. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I wonder how many parents we got failing in this commandment, and I wonder how many children we got failing in this commandment.
Right.
Now listen, kids, listen. If you leave God out of the equation when it comes to honoring mom and daddy, you'll never submit to any form of authority.
That's right.
God has been the one to institute the home. He's the one that's given you parents. Parents, it is our job to train them and to teach them to obey all forms of authority for the rest of their lives.
That's right.
Mom and daddy, it is your job to enforce this. You know what I'm learning? Very few people know how to parent. Very few. Preacher knows everything. No, I know what the Bible says. And you don't. And that's why, and you're that or you disregard it, and that's why you have no idea how to parent. Did you know, Daddy, it is our job not just to discipline, but to train our boys to be men? And Mama, it is your job to train your little girls how to be women. You know, when time they get out of the nest and they get married, they shouldn't have to learn how to be a wife. They should already be trained.
Amen.
And they ain't hardly no young women in this generation has a clue how to be a wife.
That's right.
There's more to it than hugging and kissing and holding hands.
Right.
There's a duty in the home for the man and the woman. And the children. God's made it clear. Mom and daddy and the children. What our jobs are. And listen to me. For those of you who are kids, you need to understand something. I understand we're not under the law. But you know how. We ain't got time. But you can look with me. Look in Exodus 21. Under the law. How important really was it to God, under the Mosaic law, for children to obey their parents? Look at Exodus 21. Some of you kids would not know what to do. Look at verse 15. I'm about done today. He that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely... Look at verse 17. He that curseth his father or mother shall surely be... It's also found in Deuteronomy. I understand we're not under the law, but I want you to see, under the law that God was the author of, when children cussed their mom and daddy, disobeyed their mom and daddy, or hit their mom and daddy, they killed them. I just can't believe they abuse them babies. By taking a switch and wearing them out,
right.
Under the law, they took them and tied them to a post and stoned them to death.
Yes, sir.
Hello? Good day in America. Can I say this, my friend? It applies. Listen, I understand this law. That does not apply to us, but it still applies in all reality. Not that we put anybody to death under the wrath and the judgment of the law, but listen to me. Did you know I can still prove to you if children don't obey their parents, dishonor them, smite them, and cuss them, they're still put to death.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. I prove to you, we don't stone them. God said they'll die early years.
Yeah.
Right. They'll lose years.
Yep.
So in all reality, consequence is the same.
Right.
Just a different way. All these kids in here, if you can't obey your mom and daddy,
long preacher.
Oh, me.
Yeah.
I know this will be heavy preaching. I never preached on them. I'm starting to figure out why. It's our job to make them.
Yep. Come
on. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I just can't do nothing with them. Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, you can. You're going to have to push through the hurt.
Yeah.
I tell my kids, it hurts me worse, it hurts you. They'll never understand it until they get children. You can put a stop to them.
Yes, sir. Right.
But you got to let go and absolutely tan their eyes.
Yep.
That's huge. Okay. I talk about punching them in the face.
Right.
I talk about dragging them by the hair through the house and kicking them. Talking about biblical discipline.
Right, yeah.
I'm figuring out it ain't just out there.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Children are running home.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Right.
Whatever they say is top priority.
Yes, sir.
I tell my kids no sometimes just so they know what it means.
Yeah.
Why won't you let her go say tonight? She just needs to come home today.
Yeah.
That's what you want. There's times that my kids do not want to do something. I make them.
Yes, sir.
If they need a whooping, guess what they're getting? We're not going to count 75 times.
Right.
You hear me? I'm not going to ask them, please listen to me. That's not coming out of my mouth. They're going to listen.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Because I love them.
Right.
Yeah.
And if they don't listen to me, they're not going to listen to their teacher. If they don't listen to their teacher, they're not going to listen to the police. If they don't listen to the police, they're going to jail. And when they go to jail, they're not going to listen to the preacher that comes into jail. Preach them, they're going to go to hell.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Right. Everybody understand that. That works. And this is the first commandment with promise. How many of you kids want to live a good, long, happy life? Any of you? Raise your hand. Y'all want to die young? Okay. Everybody, you want to live a happy life? Long life? You better learn to obey your mom and daddy.
Right, right.
Right. Good preaching.
And mom and daddy, don't give them the option to disobey you.
Amen. Amen.
We're fixing to be done. Y'all can go ahead and close your Bibles and get your car keys ready. I know everybody's itching to get out today.
We're living in a day in an hour where parents are not even parenting.
That's right.
I'm about to say something heretic some of these do. These kids are too young for cell phones.
Amen.
They're too young.
Amen.
Brother John, and I know several preachers, but one of them, he said one of the biggest regrets he has in parenting was giving his children cell phones at too young an age.
Amen.
I'm going to go a step further. We really need to either take away the electronics or monitor them legally.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're right,
sir. Yes, sir.
I took mine away. It's been over 2 years ago. She's still in right back. That's excessive. Well, I'll tell you what I don't have problems with. What she's seen, heard, or watched on the internet.
Yeah,
and don't seem too excessive to me. I might have to go down that road again. 2 years ago, we walked down Hell's Highway, and boy, all hell unleashed because things that was going on that iPad that was bought and had all the monitors and the filters. And that, by the way, none of that matters.
Amen.
And you see what they're incorporating on them kids' YouTube channels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And we sit back and wonder why our kids start thinking the way they do.
Yeah.
Because instead of being a mom and dad, we want them out of their hair, we'll give an iPad and they go close up the house in the corner somewhere on the couch for 12, 13, 15, 16 hours a day while we do what we want because we don't really want to fool with them.
You're right.
You're letting YouTube raise your children, and you're letting social media raise your children, and Netflix raise your children, and my God, that's our responsibility.
Amen.
I know it's hard preaching, and boy, I'd get kicked out of a bunch of churches
right.
Preaching like this.
Running well, preaching right.
I don't want Hollywood raising my babies. Honey, we all thought you had all the bases covered. Just to be walking through the house one day and catch something that caught you off guard. You had all the safe search on and the filters and all the parental and all that stuff. And still, it's still, son, it's coming through every avenue. These kids don't need to have the ability to have access to anything they want at any time. I need some happiness more.
Right.
Talk about creating a home that pleases God.
Right.
Brother Bob, I'm seeing it everywhere I go. There's so few people that really want a biblical home.
Right.
That preaches too much. You're not going to say that when you come to me with your 13-year-old boy and he's addicted to pornography.
Right.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Or your little girl who's been watching Hannah Montana and who turned into Miley Cyrus and turned into a Hollywood whore.
Yep.
Or the one I can't think of her name, all the little girls, and she's an open lesbian.
Right.
Why are y'all tightening up on me? We ought to be saying amen.
Right.
Or all the little feminine little boys on YouTube, you know, playing with their little action figures and their feminine daddies coming in and they start picking up feminine terms and they start acting feminine ways and they say, you know, you're a little feminine little boy, we'll play with dolls and then he's 15, we'll take a boyfriend.
Right. Amen.
Not my child, you better watch. I encourage you men to do this. I know we can't do everything we want to do with them when they're really, really little. Not back then. As soon as they get big enough, take them outside.
Yeah.
Teach them how to push a lawnmower.
Yeah.
I got a picture somewhere. The lawnmower called me. I'm having to push it like this.
Yep.
Mowing the grass. Weed eating. Son, if you ain't never weed eating at my house, at my place. It's an all-day deal.
Yeah.
My hands will vibrate for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Sorry about my reading. Ain't nothing better than when my daddy walk lead me by the hand through the woods, shoot something, teach me how to get, well, I say teach me how to get. I kind of wish you didn't talk about that, because from that point on, all my dear history and everybody else here is with us, I got that. Child Hunt. Sorry.
Yeah.
You ain't got no Bible for that, sure do. I sure do. Y'all be like them boys, old Jack Meeshaw, went out there in the woods with a bow and caught and killed some innocent.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Sign my book, preacher. Don't be ashamed. Figure it out. Go out in the woods and waste time for 5 years like we all did when we first started. But you learn some things. Are you with me? Teach them how to use the bathroom and find the water dry leaves to clean with. Yeah. I mean, I can't preach on girls. I mean, girl, I want y'all to paint nails and clean curtains and shop. Oh, I know you think. But teach them how to be a man.
Amen.
Rough them up, man. You ready?
Yeah.
Elijah. Pretty tough little old thing.
Yeah, he is.
But from when he was 1 year old, I've been choke slamming him on the bed. Just holding his neck, make sure he, you know, didn't break his neck and paralyze him. Then now they help him up to him and he's like, "I'm fine." Yeah, let's go. And the bigger he's getting, the harder I'm hitting him. Higher I'm throwing. But I'll tell you what he won't be if he goes to school next year and somebody pushes him or hits him. He ain't going around the teacher crying like a girl.
No.
What's he going to do? He told me, "Dad, I know what I'm going to do on the first day of school." I said, "If you do, son, I'm going to tell you, son, I'm going to try my best to get it down." What he told me. I said, "Hey, man. Is that what you said?" He said, "I'm going to do my best." asked Dad first day to get kicked out. I said, what are you going to do? He said, whatever it takes. And I loved him and touched him. But you know what he knows too? Daddy will wear that tail out, buddy.
Yeah.
Because if you were to ask him, 5 years old, you know what he'd tell you? Because he loves
me.
I never just go off on it, and I get to that in Ephesians where it said, Father, provoke not your children to wrath. You're not teaching them nothing but hollering and screaming and cussing.
Right.
Mamas, I ain't trying to send you out, but I notice it's a little bit worse with the mamas. You want to holler and go on? Listen, hey, you're provoking them to wrath.
Right.
You're not teaching them nothing, you're making them madder. You're making them meaner. Both are not the wrath, but chastisement. Kids, honor your mother and your father.
I am.
All right? Boy, we had a good time today.
Yes, sir.
Father, love you. Thank the Lord for this day. And I pray, Lord, this morning that you would deal with our hearts, whatever areas we need dealt with. Lord, our homes are in bad shape. So, Lord, I pray today that you would challenge us to do what we're to do as Christians in raising our sons and our daughters. Help us, dear Lord, to live our life in a way that pleases you and to teach them more by example than we do by words. Saying one thing and doing another has led many a kids away from God. So God, may we never do that. Help us this morning. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, some have already came. How about you this morning? Maybe you need to come and say, Lord, help me to be a better parent. Maybe you need to come, kids, and say, Lord, I need you to forgive me. I ain't been a very good kid. I've not obeyed my mom, my dad, my grandma, whoever it is. I've not listened to them. I've caused them trouble. Whatever the Lord spoke to you about this morning, won't you come? Is he first? Is he really number one in your life? If he's not, he needs to be. He needs to be.